Tritonic is beginning to stay on for Heskins Urchins. Stepney Causeway held in third. I like to move it. Tritonic is chasing, but he's chasing in vain. And I like to move it. Moves it up the Cheltenham Hill and takes a step up in grade in fine style.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Let me hit you with some of the promos that are coming up here. Yesterday, we had the live bankroll out there. I had the bankroll money to play with, and I stayed away from a couple of Belmont races that I should have jumped into. Otherwise, it would have been a very good day. We wound up hitting the late pick four at Keeneland for not much money. It started out with a chalky horse, and we had one decent price in there, and then it was a couple other logical horses. So there wasn't much money to be had. Everybody got a little bit of free money, though, and it was a fun afternoon, always a lot of fun. Thanks to the folks for coming down to play on the bankroll team yesterday. But as I say, it was a little bit of money. Could have been much better. If I jumped in, that's the thing with the bankroll. You have a certain bankroll, you got to kind of keep it going for 4 hours. So where do you jump in and which races do you avoid? And some afternoons we're out there and you pick the right races to jump into. And some like yesterday, the two races at Belmont, I'd love to have back. It would have been a great afternoon for the bankroll team had I jumped in on, you know, the couple of the late races at Belmont instead of taking a pass. So, again, everybody did wind up a little bit of money, and it was a fun afternoon. The bankrolls are always fun. Check out the promotions calendar at capitalotb.com for the next bankroll promotion coming up. But coming up over the next couple of days, I will alert you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there's a match bet promotion. If you come on down, you maybe get a little extra dough with the match bet this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow, it's an NFL Sunday. Watch all the football action and all the racing action right here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday throughout the NFL season. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. That's the same spot you can come and enjoy Breeders' Cup action if you'd like to. And let me alert you that for $5, you can reserve a Saturday Breeders' Cup seat right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Not only do you get a seat, you get that nice glass. Really, and I've seen it up close and personal. It is a nice little glass, so that's an extra added bonus if you reserve your seat. Come on down to the Clubhouse and put a reservation on your Breeders' Cup Saturday seat. Again, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, we'll get things underway. And fun day at Laurel. It's Maryland Millions Day. Let me alert you right off the bat that Laurel's post time is 11:30 today with a full card of stakes races. Maryland Millions Day, always a lot of fun. We're going to talk about it on the show this morning. Belmont kicks off at 12:35, Keeneland at 1 o'clock, and we're going to talk some Keeneland on the show today as well, and we will be joined in a few by Marty McGee, the Kentucky correspondent for the Daily Racing Form. Excuse me, we talked to two stakes at Keeneland today, and also got a little meet recap and just talked some Kentucky racing in general with Marty. That's coming up shortly, and then a little bit later on, our friend Dave Rodman from Laurel. You hear him as the track announcer down at Laurel, but he gave us some ideas on some of the stakes action today on the Maryland Millions card as well. We talked to both of them yesterday. Appreciate their taking the time to jump on board and again preview some of the Saturday afternoon stakes action. That is all coming up, so I will step out of the way. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Marty McGee and Dave Rodman, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Betway's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by Marty McGee, covers Kentucky and more for the Daily Racing Forum, the hard copy, and DRF.com. We'll talk a little Keeneland this morning with Marty. Marty, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the stakes on Saturday afternoon, the Raven Run and the Perryville. But I also thought we'd have a little just general Keeneland conversation. We'll get into that in a few. But first, I just wanted to go back a couple days because I was handicapping for Keeneland for Capital OTB. And so I was watching the races on Thursday. And I'd like to get your opinion because we just recorded our Saturday morning handicapping show. And I was talking with my colleague, Brian Addo. And I said, okay, is Dennis's moment back or do we need to see one more? I handicapped the race and I just could not pull the trigger on Thursday on Dennis's moment. But I will say, it looks like Dale Romans might have him back. He looked pretty good on Thursday.
He did. I mean, he got a terrific trip and ride from Corey Lannery, angled out and showed the speed that we saw when he was 2 years old, almost 2.5 years ago. You know, he ever since he stumbled out of the gate in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, Breeders' Cup Juvenile as the odds-on favorite in 2019 at Santa Anita, it's been all tough luck for Dennis's moment. But he did get a 92 buyer speed figure out of that win on Thursday, and I would imagine that won't be too long when we see maybe down in Florida, Dale run him in some of those sprint stakes there for older horses. And I know it's been quite the struggle for Dale Romans and the Allball family in resurrecting, so to speak, the career of Dennis's moment, but it was quite the moment for them the other day, no pun intended, with him winning here at Keeneland.
Yeah, 92 solid buyer for him, and again, kind of got back on track on Thursday. It's going to be interesting to see his next race, and is he believable or not? Off the talent early in the career, I have my fingers crossed. I know that was just devastating for them to, you know, have the trouble in the Breeders' Cup with the high hopes, but maybe they're back on track. We'll keep our fingers crossed again. Nice win on Thursday down at Keeneland for Dennis's moment. All right, let's jump in. Speaking of resurrections, maybe we'll see one in the Perryville, and let's have some comments on that while we talk about this. Marty, I pulled up the optional claiming non-winners of one allowance win down at Tampa for Soup and Sandwich. Be the number two horse here on the replay we're watching. Now, it is only a field of three, but Soup and Sandwich did it in the right way, then follows that up with the second in the Florida Derby, tries the Kentucky Derby and runs up the track in the Kentucky Derby, has been on the sideline since, but seems to be working lights out for Mark Cassie. So Soup and Sandwich becomes the interesting story in the Perryville, but it's a fun field in here. Picking Time for Kelly Breen, maybe an interesting player. Certainly Pipeline, John Velasquez in town to ride a couple of stakes horses for Chad Brown, including Pipeline, who's lightly raced but broke the maiden last time. Boca Boy with a lot of early speed. But as I say, Soup and Sandwich, the very interesting horse. What are your thoughts in Saturday's Perryville?
Well, Mark Cassie could not have spoken in more glowing terms to me earlier this week, Seth, about Soup and Sandwich, how they, as soon as he ran last of 19 in the Kentucky Derby, they said, we're taking our ball and going home. Took him down to Ocala, where Mark lives and trains a lot of his horses. And he could not be happier with how the horse has done the last couple of months. So first in Ocala, then at Churchill. He does draw the one hole off the layoff when turning back. I think that might be kind of a slippery slope for him. I'm a big fan of his, the way he ran not only in that Tampa race that you showed, but also in the Florida Derby and other spots. But, he's a horse with talent. I'm going way outside with the Tommy Drury horse, the 9 horse here. I'm having some computer problems. I'm trying to pull up the entries for tomorrow. Who's the number 9 horse in that spot?
Yeah, Runway Magic.
Yeah, oh, he was terrific in his last start at Churchill, winning a flat mile. And I think that the open air outside box that he's got here, the outer post, is really going to help him get a trip. And he's 12-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, I like that, certainly. And again, has a little bit of a closing kick. Our colleague Brian Addo liked picking time off the closing strategy because he thought there was potentially some speed in the race. And as I say, Chad Brown has Pipeline in there coming off a 97 buyer win to break the maiden in career start number 4. He could potentially be a little bit interesting in here as well. Steve Asmussen has Irish Unity. So scheduled field of 9, and I think a competitive field. But again, it's all going to center on Soup and Sandwich and whether that one comes back ready to run. And as you say, can overcome the one post position as well.
Yeah, for sure. And, that's the 3-year-old colts and geldings. That team has done a nice job of kind of getting to the end of this meet. You know, a lot of times it's so top-heavy, Seth, with all the graded stakes and the false starts weekend to open the meet, and then you're kind of left with, mains and tails after that. But they've done a great thing. They have more money here in Kentucky now these days, but they've got now 22 stakes. It'll last us all the way through next Saturday with the Fayette and a couple more. And the Perryville is the Colton Gelding is race 7 on Saturday. Then in race 9, we have the Raven Run, and that's the 3-year-old filly counterpart going the same distance, 7 first.
Yeah, and you talk about full fields. This is a full field of 13. And I pulled up the replay here from the Cotillion. Clairier, the number 6, will be the winner, but Obligatory, the number 1, runs a nice second in here for Bill Mott and company. And cuts back to the 7 furlongs Saturday afternoon, gets the outside 13 post position, and as I say, we're watching the replay, run second in here, but that was at a mile and a 16th. 2 starts back, was well beaten in the test behind Bella Sophia, who looked really good that day. However, down at Churchill back in April, won at the 7 furlongs and the 8 bells. So it's interesting they're cutting back on Saturday afternoon for the Raven Run. But again, this is a nice full field. They did do a great job in here. Caramel Swirl for Bill Mott, also for Bill Mott. Barnmate to the top pick is interesting. Dale Roman says Strong Silent, who is lightly raced and probably needs to step forward. But being lightly raced, I don't think that's out of the question. Chad Brown's Zanel Rab, if I'm anywhere close to that, is also lightly raced, but a couple of wins in 3 starts, including 1 win at the 7 furlong trip. Fun race. What are your thoughts on the Raven Run?
I thought it was a terrific race. Obligatory, who you were talking about at the outset, Seth. I mean, she was sensational in winning the 8 bells on the Kentucky Oaks undercard. The only disappointment since then for her has been the test, in which she really seemed to have no excuse behind Bella Sophia and Super Sensation. But I think that the outside post is going to help her. I thought she was such an interesting candidate that for the Daily Racing Form in canvassing all the prospects for the Philly and Mare Sprint, I thought maybe she belonged because they're trying to get a fuller field for that race out there to face Gamine. But nonetheless, they are settling for this 3-year-old only year and maybe looking forward to her having her fresh for a 4-year-old campaign. She and the other Billy Mott trainee, Caramel Swirl, both are in excellent form. And I think they'll take some beating. Mark Cassie also has a parent here in Super Sensational, who was upset by Scylla, who also is coming here from New York for this race. There's a lot of countries to be heard from in here. My pick is Zanel Arab for Chad Brown, who has been red hot not only in New York but here at Keeneland. He was 1-2 in both First Lady, a grade 1, and the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, a grade one last week. I'm looking for the Saturday runs to continue for Chad Brown.
Yeah, I was at here actually doing the afternoon handicapping show a couple weeks ago, and he had the 1-2 finish in New York, and we were all kind of like, okay, how did this pay $100 and some exact at Chad Brown? And it was like an hour later, it was $70 down at Keeneland. So the hint was out there. I didn't take either hint.
Yeah, I mean, Chad, you know, Chad is Chad. So we're trying to decide if he's eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2032 or 2033. You know, let's hope we're around to see it then, Seth. But nonetheless, he's on his way. And this is yet another contender. He has both Pipeline in the Perryville and Zane LaRaff in the Raven Run.
Again, I want to also talk a little bit about how the meet's been going so far. Let me just start out, fan-wise, are things back to normal down there?
They are, except for, you know, the days of us having 35,000 or so here jammed in, shoehorned in on big days are over. Keeneland, amid this ongoing pandemic, has had limiting it to 20,000 per day. And they've had sellouts on, I think this Saturday, today, will be the fourth time they've had a sellout. But it's still, people are having a good time. Masks are not mandatory. And it's been... you know, it's been pretty enjoyable, really. Like the Derby last year, where they limited it to 50,000 or so, it was quite the enjoyable experience. I've been to 48 straight Kentucky Derbies, and that was nice. But that's not going to last once this, hopefully the pandemic ends, and we'll be back to shoehorning people into this place. But yeah, it's been a great meet in terms of the quality of racing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because I was going to have you on last Sunday and talk about the big weekend of racing, and then I was under the weather, so we didn't do the show on Sunday. But I'll go back and just get some thoughts. And I pulled up the replay to the Spinster. Latruska is going to be the number four horse here. We got to see her up at Saratoga. She is just phenomenal. And I you would have to think, no matter what happens, she's got the Eclipse Award ready to sit on the mantelpiece. You know, as I say, no matter what happens in the Breeders' Cup, she just had a phenomenal season, and this is a nice win last week at Keeneland. But also horses last weekend like Bell's the One and Juju's Map, I thought, put in very big performances. How did you come away from last weekend and some of the nice stakes winners that came out of it?
Well, I just spent on Friday morning, I just spent about a half an hour with Fausto Gutierrez. The Latruska actually leaves on Saturday, the 23rd for Del Mar. He wants to get her out there as soon as he can. They actually open the track for training on Monday. I don't know. You know, if She Dares the Devil happens to beat Latruska in the Distaff, that would be a very interesting thing for the Philly and Mare Award in terms of the Eclipse Awards, even as much as Latruska has done over the span of the entire year. But nonetheless, she's terrific. She's going out there in great shape. Fausto mentioned to me that he might think about, if everything goes well in the Distaff, running Latruska in the Saudi Cup. Ooh. As opposed to the Pegasus in February. So that I thought that was kind of interesting. But Bell's the One. She worked Friday morning at Churchill Downs. A decision is pending on whether or not she will proceed to the Philly and Mare Sprint for trainer Neil Peston. He said he'll make a decision before the weekend is out. You know, he has to run against Gamine, who I already mentioned in terms of they're searching for horses to run against Gamine in that race. Juju's Map, she also worked on Friday morning, as did Hidden Connection. They are two of the serious candidates for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies on November 5 at Del Mar.
And how about Rattle and Roll in the Breeders' Futurity for Kenny McPeak? Had the bad race up at Saratoga, but Kenny said the horse came out of that with a little ding on the eye. The horse went wide, and so there was an excuse there, and subsequently has looked pretty good, including that win in the Breeders' Futurity.
Well, Kenny had thought about bypassing the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Rattle and Roll, but this week he went ahead and decided we are going to go ahead and roll the dice. He was going to wait for the Kentucky Jockey Club at the end of the Churchill Downs Fall Meet, but they're going to go. He was terrific, I thought, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And, you know, I think that division might be a little more wide open than, say, the Philly, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies, which has Echo Zulu and Hidden Connection and Juju's Map.
Yeah, as I say, it was a really nice weekend with some performances that will certainly play out in the Breeders' Cup. Just wanted to hit on a couple other things. at the meet, the meet and beyond with this next topic. I'd love your thoughts on this, because I had a chance to interview Tyler Gaffalione up at Saratoga, and he had a pretty good Saratoga meet. I was talking about it earlier on the handicapping show. It's tough for a guy to come in from out of town and really make an impact, because they don't have those New York trainer connections. And Tyler being based down at Churchill now, I thought he was okay. He was fifth or sixth up at Saratoga, had a pretty good meet. But being based down in Kentucky, I'd just like your opinion on this guy, who certainly showed talent in Florida, but now is just dominating down in Kentucky. I pulled up the stats at Keeneland, and as we tape this, he's sitting with a 10-race margin. He's 19 to the second-place finisher, Florent Giroux at Keeneland, 19 to 9, with a couple of weeks only. And it was phenomenal just a few weeks ago at the end of the Churchill meet. He wins the Churchill meet, getting four winners on closing day. Just give me your impressions watching this guy down in Kentucky, because, as I say, since he's moved to Kentucky, Tyler Gaffalione's just been phenomenal.
It's been a brilliant move by him and his agent, Matt Musicar. I mean, Tyler now has won the last five meet titles at Churchill Downs, which is pretty much unheard of for a guy who was just he was initially Seth typecast as a Florida-only rider, but they made a brilliant move to come to Kentucky for the spring and the fall, Gulfstream in the winter, Saratoga in the summer. It's worked out beautifully. And the reason is, he's good. I mean, I remember talking to Mark Cathy about him three or four winters ago down at Gulfstream. And I said, man, he rode a horse for Cathy just beautifully. And he goes, oh, yeah, he's a hidden gem. So he's maximizing on his potential, Seth, here in Kentucky and elsewhere.
Yeah, to see him just run away. The Keeneland meet is similar to Saratoga in that a lot of the top jocks kind of flock there, and to see him kind of running away at this point in the meet, just amazing. But he's done it since he's arrived at Kentucky at the various tracks. Speaking of the various tracks, I wanted to touch on one other thing, because you wrote about it the other day in the Daily Racing Forum. Joe Talamo will be spending the winter at Turfway Park, and I wanted to roll that into a little more general conversation about Turfway, because you alluded to it earlier when you talked about the money in Kentucky. And it seems like Turfway this winter, you know, with Talamo saying, hey, I'm going to elect it, you know, he's based there, so just his family life and whatever makes it a little bit easier, I'm sure, to stay in Kentucky. But it seems like a lot of big trainers and outfits as well are aiming for Turfway this winter, which with that Kentucky money, maybe a little bit of a different meet this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, they do still have only the synthetic track, but the money is just so good, Seth. They're talking about minimum purses of $62,000. That includes, of course, the Kentucky bred registered bonuses. But the trainer and jockey colonies are reflective of the increased money being made available, and all that is from the slots like quote unquote historical horse racing machines that have proliferated at all the state racetracks. So I think Rafael Bejarano was one last year to stay home here in Kentucky and ride the whole winter at Turfway, as was Chris Landeros, who's made a name for himself elsewhere. So I think if you look up and down the riders and the trainers, that pretty much tells you what kind of racing they're going to have at Turfway this winter for 4 months, starting December 2nd.
Yeah, looking forward to that meet, because, again, I think it's going to be a little bit different this year. But it's just, again, the historical racing machines have really changed the complexion of Kentucky racing, evidenced most obviously by Kentucky Downs, which on that short meet, they plow that money in. That Kentucky Downs meet has just been eye-popping over the past few years.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. guys like Mike Maker and Brad Cox, a lot of them will withhold horses from certain races at Ellis or Saratoga toward the end of those meets just to point for those huge purses. They have maiden races for up to, I think, $130,000, which is kind of obscene, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, and for a guy like me that's been around, I still marvel when I open up and look at one of those. And more tracks are kind of doing it, but down in Kentucky, certainly the $100,000 maiden race or $120,000, just incredible. But it makes for the big full fields that we all like and good betting opportunities, so couldn't be more for it. Marty, appreciate the conversation, the thoughts on this afternoon and beyond. Again, folks can find your work, the hard copy of the Racing Form or DRF.com. But as I say, appreciate the conversation this morning, and we'll talk again.
Anytime. Thanks a whole bunch, Seth.
Thanks a lot. Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Form.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Oops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Always happy to be joined by our friend Dave Rodman from Laurel Park. We're going to talk a little Maryland Millions Day. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. How are you doing on this Maryland Million Day?
Very good. Haven't talked to you in a while, so glad to have you back on board, and always good to have conversation about a big day down at Laurel. And Maryland Million Days is one of those days, chock full of stakes races. We'll talk a little bit about that as we move along here. But you and I were just talking off the air, and I had planned to bring this up, and I pulled up a photo that was on the Maryland Jockey Club Twitter feed going back to August. Talk a little bit about, because earlier this year you had an extended stay at Pimlico while they did a renovation on the track at Laurel. But again, the photo shows just about the time period where racing got back to Laurel with a brand new racing surface. Talk a little bit about how racing has gone since the track was resurfaced and the situation again earlier this year with a little extended stay at Pimlico, but leading into this brand new track at Laurel.
Yeah, during our extended stay at Pimlico, the entire main track was redone all the way down to the base. Series of issues that built up over the years, and instead of patchworking it, they decided to do the entire track over. And also, it gave a lot of time for the turf to really soak up the summer sun and for the roots to take place. So, in my opinion, I mean, I've been here 30-plus years. This is the best I've seen both the Laurel main track and the Laurel turf in all the time I've been here. I haven't heard a single complaint, really, about the main track. It tilts a little bit towards speed, but we haven't had a lot of rain. It was a really good streak of weather the last three so weeks, maybe a month. It's been almost perfect, so a little hard to say how it's going to play when we get an extended period of rain. Maybe some closers will really, really kick in. But you still have to handicap like you'd handicap most dirt races in North America. Just kind of give the edge a little bit to a horse, of pace horses as well. You can close, though, from off the pace. But very honest, I've only seen maybe one couple of days post-rain when we had some rain earlier in the meet where the inside may have been a slight advantage over the outside. But and it's good for handicappers, you know. You can try to handicap the best horse. After that, it's up to the racing gods, right?
That's what we like to hear, though, a nice fair track that plays to the handicappers. And as you say, even then it doesn't always work out, but at least gives us a good shot. You mentioned...
And most important, you know, it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the track, you know, has been very, very, very safe, so the renovation, too, as well. So... Good on all counts, and the turf course, and I mean, a lot of places are shut down now, I know, but I think that little stay at Pimlico helped the turf roots take place, and they've improved the drainage, too, a bit on the turf as well. So maybe we can stay on it, knock on wood, through the end of November.
Yeah, typically you guys go quite a while down there, and the turf racing down in Maryland is always Very, very good. You alluded to it a second ago when you talked about rainy days down there. Talk a little bit about on Saturday. What can we expect weather-wise for Maryland Millions Day?
Mm-hmm. They say a couple of little minor cool fronts going to pass through the area. It was in the upper 70s on Thursday. Friday, a little bit cooler. And then Saturday, I think 64 for our high. Today, Maryland Million Day, somewhere in there. So, but that's the kind of weather we expect on Maryland Million Day. A bit cool, lots of leaves turning colors, the place all decorated. The Maryland Million people do a really good job of sprucing it up, very fall-like atmosphere, autumn atmosphere.
That's what we like to hear. Speaking of, whenever I have you on this time of year, I always ask, and I don't know whether with the pandemic it has changed, but is there still a pie day down there this time of year?
I haven't heard any plans, but I think that America would be disappointed if we didn't have it, right?
Yeah, I would be. I think it's the best giveaway in all of horse racing.
Right. Yeah, the one year that we did suspend it, there was quite the outrage. So, I'll let you know.
Yeah, very good. And just before we get into Saturday, I pulled up on Equibase the human stats going back to the meet beginning early in September. On the jockey side, Toledo, Ruiz, and Caramanos are up on the top of the jockey side. And Brittany Russell continues to go very well. She tops the trainers. Dale Capuano second. Mm-hmm. Our friend Mike Trombetta third in there. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on the human side of things on the racing game?
Well, first, Horacio Caramanos, veteran rider, I think is riding in the best form of his career right now. Jorge Ruiz has really, really impressed me in the last month or two. He has been very patient in saving his horses till the last furlong, the last 16th of a mile, and put in some really good timing rides here lately. Jevion Toledo is at the top of the standings, and anytime you see him in the race, you've got to look at that horse first, I would think, and see what the intentions are. He rides for a lot of high-profile barns, but Ruiz has done it kind of for some mid-to-level type barns, and Caramanos has been in great form as well. It's pretty wide-open jockey colony here. As far as the trainer standings go, Brittany, the big arsenal of horses she has, she's won with class horses, first-time starters with drop-downs. Dale Capuano has been on a roll here, including earlier this week, the Maryland Million Week. He's still winning. So he's kind of like the hot guy in the top five now, right now, I would think, the Dale Cap Barn.
And then two or three weeks ago, there was a kid. I can say kid because I think he's 16. It sounds like it's a movie or it's a movie name. 16-year-old apprentice got his first win down there. Bryson Butterfly.
Yeah, Bryson Butterfly. He's a Native American. Rode out west in Washington, and some meets I've never even heard of when you look up his record. Coming into Laurel, he had won, I believe, 17 races. He got his first win here in Maryland. He is up against a tough journeyman colony right now. So it's been a little slow for him, I think, to get some prime mounts. But I'll tell you, the last couple of weeks, you look at his mounts, and he's gotten run out of 40-to-1 shots, 30-to-1 shots, 50-to-1 shots, double-digit horses. Finished second earlier this week, I think it was Thursday, on Justin Nixon's horse. So he's getting into some better barns right now. Marty Leonard handles his book, who has got Jimmy on Toledo. So he's in the right hands. It's a question of just getting to some better barns and high-profile barns and getting all the right horses, It's tough to win on 50-to-1 shots, that's for sure. But he's getting run out of them. And anytime he's on a horse, I take an extra look.
Yeah, we will certainly keep our eyes on that because Maryland, longtime breeding ground of apprentices who then went on to great journeyman careers as well. We'll see if that turns out to be the case. All right, let's check.
I met him on the way in the track the other day. Well, the first day he was here. And actually, I met his mom's dog first because I came around the corner and the dog like jumped on me and wanted to get a nose rub and then right around the corner here pops Bryson and his mom, I guess it was his mother, and Marty Leonard, his agent. So that was my first meeting, but it seems to be very professional, especially for 16-year-old. And hopefully he'll get some prime mounts here soon. You never know. Just keep an eye for him. You might catch one of those
horses that pop at a big price.
Yeah, that's why we always like to kind of alert people a little bit ahead of the curve, maybe. This is a guy to watch, yeah, and maybe you'll get a couple of prices early on. All right, let's jump in and start. We'll kind of work our way back from the highlight. The highlight on Saturday is the Maryland Millions Classic, $150,000 up for grabs. I pulled up a replay from back on September 25th. Dream Big Dreams is going to be the number two horse here and get it done for the aforementioned Brittany Russell. And I thought this horse was interesting. Clearly the horse to beat will be Tappin' Cat for Gary Capuano, coming off a couple of nice wins down at Delaware most recently with solid buyer numbers as compared to this field. But as I say, we're watching Dream Big Dreams get it done just a few weeks ago. What are your thoughts on the Classic?
I think the race kind of depends on what is Prendimi going to do. The two horse from the Carvajal barn, he seems to have a lot of early speed. I think their only MO is to maybe go in here. He was seventh in the Classic last year after prompting a quick pace in the race of 46-4, 3/4, and 10-4. And he may be the one to pose the pace pressure for Tappin' Cat. And Dream Big Dreams is going to need that. He comes off a perfect trip. I mean a perfect trip in the race you showed there with a good duel in front of him and a great ride by Fear to Lynch. Will he get the same ride again on Saturday? It's possible with a big pace in front of him and getting a perfect run. He's the kind of horse, though, I'm kind of steering against, but I probably just put him in the winner's circle by saying that. But the horse I'm kind of leaning to, Seth, is the Poser from Ham Smith. Loves Laurel. Probably a little better at the one-turn mile, but he seems to be the horse that Hammy Smith is, quote, set up, end quote, for the race. And by that, I mean he's got three races under his belt, a prep on the comeback at Colonial at Turf, where surface he doesn't really like, a real solid sprint at Pimlico behind Band on Tour, that we'll see earlier on Maryland Million Day, and also a good second behind one of his rivals on Maryland Million Day, Crocelli, at Timonium. He gets, for the first time, at least the first time since July 11th, my PPs go back there and check the long-term PPs to Horacio Caramanos, we spoke of earlier, veteran rider in the best form of his career. I think he's a solid fit off the pace in here. A little bit concerned about that mile and an eighth. I know he's a great horse at a one-turn mile, perhaps a mile around two turns, have a pace to run to, and he can relax, and he doesn't give up the chase. So that's going to be my pick, the Poser.
6-1 on the morning line. I like it. The 10th race, one race earlier, the Maryland Million Sprint. Jackson Traveler on the morning line is the 7-5 favorite, but first on the AE list. What is the AE situation on Maryland Million's Day?
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking that. Maryland Million Day gives preference to horses who are by Maryland-based sires. So all of the horses in the body of the race, you'll see Band on Tour by Bandbox, Bourbon Courage, Double Crown, Great Notion, a leading active Maryland sire right now, Karen's Notion, again, another Great Notion, Kenny had a Notion, Frisian Fire, Bourbon Courage again, Great Notion, and Golden Lad, one of the top Maryland sires as well right now. So the preference goes to horses by Maryland sire. Well, Jackson Traveler is by Munnings, and he's a Maryland bred. So the race opens up if there are any scratches to also eligible. So that's the deal there.
Yeah, I knew there was some kind of a difference.
Including the Classic, as you can see.
Yeah.
Cordmaker is on the also eligible list. And if he draws into the race, well, I think that changes the race completely, handicapping-wise, obviously.
Yeah, very talented, certainly, down there. Yeah. And again, I just wanted to clarify that because I knew there was a little bit of a difference on Maryland Millions Day.
Yeah.
So, again, Jackson
A lot of people think it's a Maryland breds only. But you can be a PA bred but buy a Maryland sire and win a Maryland Million race.
Yeah, and in fact, I did see that. I'm just looking. In fact, in this race, Kenny had a Notion as a Virginia bred. Bought by a Maryland sire,
exactly.
Jackson Traveler, if that one gets in, probably deserves the favoritism. But in the body of the field, Double Crown coming up for Reeves Thoroughbred, coming up from Gulfstream for Tommy Amos, moving into the Amos barn, looks a little bit interesting. What are your thoughts in the sprint?
Yeah, I got to use the first-time Amos horse, Double Crown, for sure. Maybe a little sentimentality. I'm a New Orleans native. Tom Amos is a New Orleans native, and I remember him back when, called his first stakes winner, Louisiana Downs, back in the day. back when he was training at LAD up in Bossier City, Shreveport area. But I'm going to give a little look in here to Bandon Tour from Gary Capuano. He's the kind of horse who handles pressure. He's run some good middle fractions sprinting in the past, if you really dig into his fractions, and he can stand the pressure. He doesn't quit when he's under pressure, and he's able to pump. And he stays close, got a good outside draw for his speed with leading rider Toledo aboard. Bandon Tour will be my play, you know, because I think he'll be A, a price, and B, he's a good horse.
Very good. Let's move on to the Maryland Millions Turf, mile and eighth on the grass. And I have another replay here. I pulled up a replay of Street Copper going back to Colonial Downs in July. This is two races back for this one. But I thought the move in from Colonial was a little bit interesting for the Mike Trombetta horse. Last time out ran fifth down at Colonial. But again, I'm kind of keying more on this race two back. But some kind of magician for Gary Contessa is interesting. Contessa back training and had a pretty good year so far, based down in the Mid-Atlantic, mostly Delaware. Cannon's Roar is the morning line favorite? At 2-1 for Dale Capuano from the one post position, which may be a little bit of an obstacle. There's always a little bit of a question mark leaving from the rail like that. Do you find the position
it's
you want?
It's a mile and an eighth, so it doesn't really bother me, you know?
Your thoughts there?
Yeah. Well, you see, the Maryland Million Turf last year, pretty good year, was the winner. He's back. Cannon's Roar, he's back. Nick Papa Giorgio, third in the race last year, he's back. But this is a wide-open race. Of the horses that ran last year in the turf, I think Cannon's Roar has retained his form. He comes off a third-place finish in a sprint in a 90-buyer Laurel Dash at 5.5 furlongs. He can hand distance. He loves Laurel. He's in form. He's in a hot barn. So he's a short price. I think you're going to use him, but I'm going for a couple of upsets in here. Some kind of magician wouldn't be an upset. He's the in-form horse right now, so I think he's the sharp one. But maybe at a price, John G., the Baltimore Baldwin, Tim Keefe's barn, who I thought ran a huge race in the Japan Turf Cup last time out. He was 16-1 in a 7-horse field, a mile and a half, not his best distance. He likes to run at a target and a good pace. He should get a little better pace, a little setup today or tomorrow, or today in the Maryland Million, and he's in form right now. I mean, I thought that was a great fourth place finish behind classier horses like Hierarchy, Tide of the Sea, and Steady Type in Gunnison in the Japan Turf Cup.
Very good. Let's move one race earlier and go to the Maryland Millions Nursery, 6 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. Always love the 2-year-olds this time of year. Big full field in here, and this is the kind of race where I think you can maybe play around and get a little bit of a price. I'll see what you think, but Mr. Mox at 9-2 for Jamie Ness is certainly very playable. Some of the other horses that are taking a little bit of action on the morning line, Local Motive, coming out of some stakes races out of town, is certainly playable too. But I thought the number 13, Bet on Bits, coming off the debut win. Now, it was against Maiden Claimers, but I think you'll get the price to maybe play around with a horse like that, and it looks like the kind of race where maybe you can play around. But what do you think in the nursery?
Bet on Bits used to be the Maiden 16 field and didn't run. There was a knot behind him, so it's tough to say how good he is. But he is a divining rod. They're winning. He won very well, so there's no doubt that he could step up. Maybe they snuck him in there for Maiden 16, taking a little shot here. I'm going to key off of Buff Hello in here from the Claudio Gonzalez barn. He was second behind Mr. Mox in the summer at Pimlico, going 5/8. Then they added blinkers on him next time out. It was a big turnaround, and he was completely focused. Ran a nice buyer number late July, brought him up to the sapling and the mile at Monmouth, a little overmatched in there. Now he's back against restricted company in here. With those blinkers, Charlie Marquez, a riding triple on Thursday here at Laurel Park, getting back in the groove. I like him a lot, Buff Hello. I think he's kind of like a 1-2 key because it's such a big field. He does have the inside. Hopefully he doesn't get shuffled back in the run down the backstretch from that inside because it's only 6 furlongs, not 7. And so you're going to see a lot of these horses gun and run from the outside gate to get position.
I will say the other Claudio Gonzalez is interesting as well, the number 4 at 12-1, Shady Money.
Yeah, he was very convincing in his win. Again, like a mid-50 buyer type number. But at this time, I don't put much stock in those numbers because, you know, they can improve at this juncture, September to October, July to October. Big difference.
Yeah, I agree. And was in for a maiden tag, but was in for the waiver as a Maryland bred. So that has to be taken into account as well. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. And again, the fourth race on the card on Maryland Millions Day is the Maryland Million Ladies, a mile and eighth. On the grass. I love you for Gary Capuano coming off a win last time. Certainly will take plenty of action. But again, it's another really big field. Judy Blue Eyes is a horse that throughout the career has been in the hunt more often than not. Maybe worth taking a look at 5-1 there. Your thoughts in the ladies?
Well, I love you as a 5-2 favorite. And I mean, if you can believe that she's going to run her last powerful race back at Laurel, going a mile on the turf and a good surface, coming back here to a mile and an eighth, which shouldn't be a problem given the trip that she had last time out. But watch that race, Seth. I mean, she had, I don't know if that overland route, but she just made a tremendous move down the backstretch. Even though she was shuffled back early, most horses would give up. But she came from last, really, second to last, early on in the race after trouble, made a huge move and sustained that move and then drew away. She's not coming back real quick. She's had a couple of works since then, so I don't fear a bounce factor in here. I just think that Gary Capp's figured her out. Maybe it's Angel Cruz who gets along with her. I don't know. But I'm going to maybe lean to her as a possible single. But if you're afraid there, you might want to use the other Claudio Gonzalez, Fool Yourself, coming back to the grass. And maybe a little look at Epic Idea and here as well, who's in good form right now and was fourth behind I Love You on the 4th of July at Pimlico there after prompting the pace.
Sounds good. And finally, let's go to race number 3, the Maryland Millions Lassie, as the name indicates. Two-year-old fillies, they're going to go a quick 6 furlongs in here. And just kind of looking down the field, Dowser for Michael Matz, a career debut victory, but it was over Penn National. I never know what to make of those. Moon Boss is maybe a little bit interesting to me for Cathal Lynch still being a maiden. Obviously, if the Pletcher horse gets in from the AE list, Jester Calls No Joy, that is going to be the one to beat. But again, we explained the also eligible situation. What are your thoughts in the Lassie?
I'm going to give another shot to Sparkle Sprinkle in here. She's very, very quick out of the gate. The last time out, the connections above my boots, whether it be the trainer, the rider, I don't know what, she was the favorite of the race, was above my boots. They sent her and really, they got into a duel from the get-go, down the backstretch, the far turn, took the starch out of both of them. They got nothing, and here comes Clip to confirm to beat them. I think Sparkle Sprinkle, given a little bit easier type lead or pace scenario in here, could bounce back to her best form in here. Holy Boss Philly, I believe she'll be looking for her first Maryland Million score, a new sire at Anchor and Hope Farm. He's producing lots of winners, sprint winners, all kinds of winners. So Sparkle Sprinkle, maybe a little bit of sentimental pick there, because tomorrow we're going to honor Anna's Bandit, who is trained by John Jerry Robb and ridden by the X-Man. And she'll be here tomorrow for a tribute to the queen of Maryland racing, recent queen of Maryland racing, and Anna's Bandit. So the connection's looking for a big day to remember their top horse who retired and now maybe a new filly on the horizon to take her place.
And for folks who don't know, just in the history of Maryland Millions, as I'm talking about this, I say for folks who don't know, maybe they're too young to even remember, but it was a Jim McKay idea, correct?
Yeah. Jim McKay, Chick Lang, and Billy Boniface, and they came up basically with the idea. Jim McKay had gone to the Breeders' Cup, and said, if we do something like this, a big day in Maryland, make it Maryland-centric. So the idea was born in 84, the first Maryland Million in 1986. So, it's been at Laurel, it's been at Pimlico, but wherever it is, it's a big day in Maryland racing. All the farms come out, they bring their clients, a lot of newcomers, so people coming to the track for the first time, a lot of things to do between races. We have my favorite of the day is the Hounds, the Goshen Hounds, And the fans really love them. They parade down the track, and the dogs do whatever they want. They kind of have the run of the track for a furlong and a half and about their 5 minutes of glory on the track. But that's been, a fan favorite over the number of years, a consistent fan favorite. In mentioning Maryland sires, I put something on my Twitter feed that people may be interested in. And it's a repost from Steve Gilfeather, who took it off a blood horse. The sires, the recent Maryland sires, by Money One, Great Notion, Golden Lad, Bandbox, Mosler, Bourbon, Courage. Those are the top five. So take a look at that. It's a list of 19. And if you just kind of go down the list, you know nothing about Maryland Million Day or Maryland Breads and Maryland sires. And you use that as a guide, maybe look for those sires and box them in the exacta. You might turn up with a pretty good exacta now and then. It has average win distance. It's a really nice chart.
Yeah, I just pulled it up as you talked about it.
Yeah.
And, it is certainly worth checking out. And on your graphic that we're putting up when you're speaking, the guys have put your Twitter feed. So, folks, if they want to go, Dave Rodman makes it very easy.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking maybe tomorrow, like looking for those sires in each race and see, just hypothetically, what would happen if I just box those three or box those four in the triple, see what happens. So, Great Notion, very active. Of course, he has multiple runners, sometimes multiple runners in each race. But Golden Lad, Bandbox, I think I picked a Bandbox on your show earlier there. Mosler, Up and Coming, Bourbon Courage from Anchor and Hope. And Uncle Lino's been getting some nice turf winners, too. As well, I had one earlier this week.
Very good. Dave, as always, appreciate the conversation, and I always like to talk about Maryland Millions Day. Big day down there at Laurel on the new surface. Like to get the chance to tout that as well. So we appreciate the conversation. Wish you and everybody down there good luck, and of course, we'll talk again.
Thanks, Seth. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Dave Rodman from Laurel.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Yes, a nice fun Saturday with some nice stakes down in Laurel, really a stakes program. And again, the Laurel Maryland Millions Day kicks off at 11:30, so we're just over a half an hour away from racing action from Maryland. Thanks to Dave Rodman for joining us a little bit earlier. Marty McGee, the Kentucky correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum, talks some Keeneland for today. They have a couple of nice stakes on their card as well. Coming up at Belmont, and again, thanks to Marty for joining us. Coming up at Belmont, the Noble Damsel and the Hill Prince this afternoon. So nice stakes in New York as well. There was a nice stake down under, and Dan from the control room alerted me. I hadn't seen the results yet, but the Cox Plate, which is a group one in Australia and maybe the top group one, certainly amongst the top, let's put it that way. It was State of Rest getting it done. And if that name sounds familiar, State of Rest, trained by Joe O'Brien, son of Aiden O'Brien, the former jockey. And he, as a jockey, he was pretty good. He just was one of those guys who grew out of it and pretty quickly. but he has gone over to the training side successfully in state of rest. Makes the double of the Cox Plate today down under, but his last race, August 7th, it was the Saratoga Derby. So it's a little Saratoga Derby Cox Plate double for Joe O'Brien and state of rest. In the Derby, Saratoga Derby is ridden by John Velasquez, but again, interesting little double there from Saratoga to Australia. A couple of grade ones, group ones, Saratoga Derby and the Cox Plate for Joe O'Brien and state of rest. Try to pull up that replay tomorrow on Racing Across America when we show some of the replays. Yeah, I'm being told that they'll get it in the control room, because it's also maybe worth looking at. The horse had to survive an inquiry as well. I guess there was a little bit of bumping in the stretch, so it'll be fun to watch that tomorrow again. Saratoga to Australia for a couple of grade one, group ones for state of rest. Also notable over the past week in the news, and I'm just trying to pull up the Equibase page here that I had pulled up. Yeah, here we go. Jackie Mario Pino, career win number 7,000, and just incredible. And I wanted to pull up the Equibase stats because I was curious where that put him on the all-time list. He's now number 10, top 10 with 7,000, actually been 10 already, because number 11 is George Velasquez with 6,795. So Pino had been number 10, but that 7,000, boy, that's a rarefied here, 7,000 wins in a career. If you're curious who the top 10 is, with over 12,000 wins, Russell Bays, retired. Lafitte Pincay, 9,500. Billy Shoemaker, Willie Shoemaker, 8,800. Pat Day, 8,800. David Gall, 7,300. Perry Utz, who is still riding, 7,200. Chris McCarron, 71. Edgar Prado, still riding, also 7,100. Angel Cordero, just over 7,000. And now Mario Pino with 7,000 as well. As I say, very rarefied air, so congratulations to Mario Pino on that career milestone victory a few days ago. Also, it came out that NYRA put together their 2022 schedule, and just so you can make your plans. And these days, it's pretty easy to work back from Labor Day, but officially, the Saratoga meet will go July 14th to September 5th next year. So as I say, if you're making your plans, that is going to be the game plan. The stakes schedule still has to be announced. And again, you can kind of figure where some of those normal stakes would be on the Saratoga schedule. But next year, July 14th to September 5th for racing up the Northway at Saratoga. Always looking forward to it. The countdown literally begins the day after. Well, maybe you take a couple days off, but at least 2 or 3 days after you start counting for next year, Saratoga. So again, we're looking forward to it, and the dates are now set. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, but once again, I will remind you just a couple of promos and events to note here. Again, a match bet promotion today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. So if you come down, maybe you get a little extra juice with the match bet promotion. Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, same venue tomorrow for NFL football action. If you wear a jersey, you get in for free. You maybe win a jersey as well by putting your name on the squares or perhaps a restaurant voucher. You can have a little fun down here on Sundays throughout the NFL season. Football and racing, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. And, of course, that's the same spot you can come and enjoy Breeders' Cup action as well. And if you'd like to do that, you can reserve a seat for the Saturday Breeders' Cup action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. $5 reserves you a seat and gets you a special Breeders' Cup Rocks glass. And as I say, I've seen the glass up close and personal. Nice glass, so that $5 will be fun. Don't forget the seminar. It'll be Tim Wilkin, Brian Addo, and I, and that'll be Thursday, November 4th. We'll record it at 1 p.m. here in the studio. Brian actually is going to be out at Del Mar. Tim and I live in the studio. We'll have the potential for Q&A via our social media platforms. That's where you'll be able to watch over on our YouTube channel. And then we will replay it over the next couple of days here on the network. And, of course, you can catch it on replay on the YouTube channel as well. But Thursday afternoon, November 4th, the Breeders' Cup seminar. We will go through the entire two-day slate of Breeders' Cup races and toss out some ideas. So mark that on your calendar as well. Countdown began for that also. $5,000 Breeders' Cup Syndicate sign-ups will be opening up on the 28th. And there's $100 that you have to put in yourself. But then OTB puts in a big chunk of money as well, and it is spread out. If you go to the website, I'm pretty sure the breakdown is there. There's, as I say, it's spread out in a number of bets. And if you're not familiar with the syndicate concept, if you make the syndicate team, you put in your money, Capital OTB puts in some money, all the money's pooled together, and that $5,000 is spread out, as I say, amongst a series of bets during the Breeders' Cup. And you get to toss in your ideas, and then a consensus is used with the picks people put in, and those various bets are made. It's a lot of fun, and there's the chance to walk away from the Breeders' Cup weekend with a nice chunk of change, with you chipping in for a reasonable amount of money on very nice size tickets that normally maybe would be outside of your budget, but it'll be a lot of fun. We will certainly be rooting for the BC Breeders' Cup Syndicate on Breeders' Cup weekend. Speaking of syndicates, we're rooting for the Keeneland Syndicate today. There is a Keeneland Syndicate this afternoon that has already closed. But as I say, I always like to root for the syndicate team to kind of knock it out of the park. So good luck to everybody who is on the team this afternoon. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. As noted, we kick off with live racing in just about a half an hour now, 11:30 for Laurel and Maryland Millions Day, 12:35 Belmont, 1 o'clock for Keeneland, and much, much more here on the network and via CapitalOTBBet.com as well. But also, if you tune in, I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so, kicking off with some Belmont and some Keeneland, and maybe we'll look in on some other action as well. But certainly Belmont and Keeneland will be in my windshield of thoughts this afternoon on plays and picks, and we'll see how it works out on a Saturday afternoon. Hopefully we all make some money and have some fun. So I'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. And again, we'll see you in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.